Thank you for standing by. The conference is now being recorded. If you do have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. All right, Glenn, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, we have on the call Nathan Cole, who's leader of the call, chair, Chris Chapler, and Steve Halston. And for staff, we have Judy Hedlund, Rob Hogarth, and myself, Glenda Saint-Javis. Have I left off anybody?
Doesn't sound like it. All right, thank you very much, Glenn. did everybody get a copy of the agenda for today, which is very short?
Yes.
All right. Is there any changes or edits to the minutes from the April 1 meeting? Okay, if not, those will be approved as submitted by Julie. Thank you, Julie. And Julie, let me go out of order here for just a minute, since the discussion on this might save you a bit of time, but you wanted a part on the agenda to talk about recording our proceedings either with minutes or using the recorded phone call. Would you like to address that now?
Right, yeah, thanks, Mason. I had not realized before, but the recordings of these meetings, the work team meetings, are being transcribed. Because of that, I was wondering whether or not those transcriptions could take the place of detailed minutes. Then I could suggest, if so, I would continue to record action items and perhaps any major points of discussion and send those out to the team following the meetings and post those on the wiki, but also include a link to both the transcript as well as the MP3 recording so that people would have the more detailed discussion from the meeting.
I think that sounds like a much more efficient use of your time, Julie.
I agree. I certainly don't object to that. That sounds like it'll save you a lot of work.
I must admit, I
think even with, here we are in the communications work team, that I like to think of fulfilling the openness and transparency mandate, but when I think of the MP3 recordings that are made and then will sit out there invariably unlistened to in cyberspace, and even all of the minutes, it does give me some pause. I guess the benefit is people have access to them, and if they wanted to, they could get them, and that keeps participants honest and on task, and I can see a bunch of different benefits to it, but man, if there's a way to not require you to spend so much effort in transcribing all of these things and let it rest on a recording and a computer-generated transcription, that would be even better.
Well, and I've looked at the transcriptions, and they're really pretty good. I guess I would point out that they can be better still if we are always identifying ourselves before we speak and making sure that our mics are turned up so that we can be heard. But otherwise, they seem to be quite complete.
Well, and the transcriptions that you have done, as often edited by Ken Bauer, those are actually almost more like meeting notes, and if you were taking notes as you listened in on a professor speaking, you'd put them in an outline form and you'd tidy them up, and that's, I think, the function that you've served in all of it. But I think that knowing that there are competing demands on your time, while that is kind of nice, I don't think that justifies the amount of effort.
And I should point out that I thought Ken's notes after the sub-team meeting last Wednesday were quite helpful, just as an email with the action items and main points of the meeting summarized. I think that sort of gave a sense to everybody the things that were accomplished and what was discussed, which is really, I think, what most people are looking for. And then they can go to the transcriptions and get more detail if necessary.
Yeah, Julie, I think we follow that road and free up your time even more. It's using the transcription as complete a record of our proceedings as you can get. So I have no objection at all to do that. Chris, is that okay with you as well?
Yeah, I mean, I found Julie's minutes very useful. I mean, after one or two of the earlier calls, you know, my brain was tickled after the meeting, and I really needed those minutes to be able to remember and sort out what had been said. I didn't appreciate there were any transcriptions. I'm sort of missed that somewhere along the line, and I agree it doesn't make sense if those are available.
Are the past ones available,
or is it just something that's for the future?
Right, yeah, they hadn't been available, so you hadn't missed them. They are now becoming available back to the original meetings and then going forward. So we'll have them. And if there needs to be clarification, I am still keeping a few notes for my own edification so I know what's going on. I'm always happy to answer questions after the discussion as well.
Are you putting those on the wiki, Julie?
Yeah, you know, what I will do is after each meeting I will take, I will indicate on the wiki the action items, some summary of main points, and then also link to the transcripts and to the MP3 all in one place so that you can, you know, look at that and then look at, you know, all the various resources.
That sounds perfect.
Where's the wiki site?
Oh, hi, Helen. How are you?
Oh, hi. Sorry, I came in late.
Hi, Helen. This is Julie. I will be happy to send you the link to the wiki. I'll do that right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other input on that issue? Okay. What I'd like to do now, if I may, is just get a quick update from everybody for the areas of work that we assigned each other to 2 weeks ago. So, Steve and Chris, would you lead off?
Sure. And I think very helpful that Ken Bauer did put together a summary of the activities we've done on our sub-team. We talked through business requirements, what they are, what they aren't. We have looked at a bunch of websites. We have even looked at the Drupal website, which, knowing that ICANN is moving towards Drupal, it can be a shortest distance between two points to look at some of the things that Drupal offers as being sort of the business requirements. And the analogy, I guess, is if you see a car that you like and you look at the sticker on the window and you see it's got air conditioning and leather seats and a V6 engine and so forth, That is one method of shorthanding what the business requirements will be, and we're trying to be somewhat careful not to just necessarily go with a particular technology provider or solution. But if it is in fact the case that ICANN is moving towards Drupal for most things, then we would be kind of silly to look at all the other sorts of things that are out there but that are not compatible. Chris, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think really to add that we were also talking about the sort of dynamic versus the static, and by that we meant the requirements that are easier to solve in the short term, because the requirements are quite wide-ranging. And also using the so-called Penelope document as a base, because it is a good document, and we should make use of that. And the hope is that before we get too far, that Mark can pick up some of our early work and start to do some work with a demo site or that then can actually be used, so we'll actually have an interactive version of the report, really, which could be quite useful for people. Just really feel what some of the things we're saying.
So I have a question for you guys. Is attention being given in your requirements, the assessment of your requirements, is attention being given to the organization of the site itself?
That taxonomy, so to speak, is it left hand or top based in organizing? That's kind of the end state. the finishing touches. So once you've got the car built, that's in some respect choosing the color. But we have all agreed that if we can get these fundamental business requirements set, that is probably the most useful and impactful part of the website design. If it has a million great functions, but you don't know where to or how to access it, then all of that is lost. So I think each one of us is looking forward to actually digging in ourselves to try to come up with what the organization of the site should be.
Okay. it comes to mind because I have the occasion to be obviously on discussion lists and those kinds of things, and I find that, well, we've talked about this before. I mean, particularly in the GNSO, all the constituency sites are different. Their discussion lists are sort of cluttered around all over the place, and it's not, you know, it's just not a well-organized effort. You should be able to go to one GNSO site and from there easily navigate to information that you need or a discussion that you need to participate in or something you need to submit or what have you. And I don't find that to be the case now, but I'm sure you guys are paying attention to this, but it was on my mind.
Yeah, definitely, and I'm trying to remember which site was it, Chris? Was it the ALAC site that we looked to as being a pretty advanced site within GNSO?
Probably of the ICANN sites, yeah, the ALAC site.
There was one that apparently some person took as an individual labor of love and mission to try and make it more state-of-the-art, and so that one was better than other sites, but I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, it was that one. I'm pretty sure it was, yeah.
It was the at-large.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. Do you guys want to address the document management issue as well?
I think with respect to document management, we know that Drupal does have certain document management capabilities. And I'm trying to remember, Chris, is that something that we're doing as there's phase one, which is the easy stuff, and phase two, which is...
In the difficult stuff. Yeah, I think the document management side is most likely in the more difficult stuff. Drupal is relatively limited in what it can do with document management, and of course we're all aware of this platform independent problem. So we've certainly got to address this one, but that is more difficult. Yeah.
All right. Anyone have any thoughts or input to share on those first two issues?
Well, basically, I really agree that it is very hard finding the information. And if you can actually have a site where you can jump between different GNSO topics easily, it would make it a lot more usable.
Yeah, I agree. Is that your dog we hear, Helen?
Sorry, yes, I had to bring her.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Okay, very good. All right, Helen, any work so far with Zbinek on the feedback?
I touched bases with her. I actually didn't know until she sent me an email who I was working with, so we didn't manage to get together yet and arrange something. Unfortunately, this has been a very bad week for me. I had some notes, but I haven't actually located them yet. One of the things that I wondered as far as translation was that some of the expenses seem to be quite high, and yet with our organization there are an awful lot of registrars that have very good translation ability, like the Chinese registrars, for example. I wonder if there's some way we can utilize them to help reduce the cost of translation for documents, instead of always paying an outside organization that is sometimes quite expensive and sometimes doesn't have the best interest of cost saving in mind.
You mean having registrars sort of as volunteers do that?
Exactly. And also, it was something that I found actually in Mexico that when you talk about the different ways of doing characters. They seem to be detailed meetings that don't really assess people that might know. A lot of the registrars were saying, "Why I can't even see them doing it this way. It's a much easier way to do it another way." So that again maybe lines up with communication. We have a whole resource of people that are very good at doing handling different documents and different characters, and yet it's we'd rather pay a third party who is probably not as interested as we are in actually accomplishing these objectives.
Okay. To your second point, did I understand you to say that sometimes information doesn't get out from the GNSO in a way that makes people who have something to contribute aware of an opportunity to contribute something useful?
That's part of it, yes. That's definitely a good part of it, that they aren't even aware. But I think sometimes we're not even asking the people that might be in a good position to help. Instead, ICANN particularly says we're going to hire these people at X number of dollars, and they'll do it for us.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
And I'm just not certain for a non-profit organization whether that's the best way of doing it. I'm sorry, my notes are very rough because I don't have the chat of me. I only just got in. So.
No, that's okay. Okay.
Even for a commercial organization or a small business like mine, I mean, we're working in English and Spanish all the time, and there's many people in the office that do speak or write natively both languages. But everyone's very busy, and it's sometimes just easier to get something done just to send it out to, you know, external translators. And the cost is about 10 cents per word.
Yeah, well, exactly, but you would probably have the resources to find in translators that would do it at a reasonable price, whereas some of these costs seem to be prohibitively high. If you know people that are in the business of doing it...
Well, I you know, I can... I'm sort of on home ground, you know, I can get Spanish down to about 6 cents per word, and you know, Russian and Arabic at about 14. I've no idea what, if those are figures that I can pay. They shouldn't pay much more, because you on the internet, it doesn't matter where your translators are, you know, you've got access to the whole world, and there's a lot of translators.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, and actually you're definitely one of the people that should be talked to about how to make sure we get translations done correctly, economically, and in a way that makes sense.
Yes. I mean, I'm not talking about certified translation and this sort of thing, you know, general business translation, obviously. Getting it certified and for legal reasons and things like that.
Yeah, no, if it has to be a legal document, then it has to be done properly. But if it's an informational document, then as long as it's well understandable, and again, people should be able to comment and say, your translation sucks, get somebody else,
yeah,
and then we'll do it.
Yeah. But even from a pure economic point of view, you know, I've given documents to staff members, and they spend so long working on them that it would be cheaper just to send it out, you know. But anyway, just a comment.
Well,
yeah.
it's something worth looking at. Okay, Helen, I would encourage you to get a hold of Zenik, you know, as soon as it's practical for you, so that you guys can...
Yeah, we need a conference and get some stuff going.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. Yes, sir.
If I can interject here.
Please.
At whatever point you all think it would be useful or helpful, I'm sure that Julie and I, working with Glenn or others, could arrange for members of our translation management effort within ICANN to talk with the team or have dialogue, whether that's at a future meeting or some sort of separately scheduled time where there can be that discussion about why do you guys do it this way? Have you considered that? A discussion about some of the management challenges of the translation process. I think they would be delighted to hear any suggestions where we could continue to reduce costs, operate more efficiently, and maintain accuracy. So that would certainly be something to entertain and consider for the future.
That's a great idea, Rob.
How would we implement that? I'd like to actually do that. I think we had discussions on that last time, but who would I communicate to set up a time and talk?
I could coordinate and do an introduction via email between you and Christina Rodriguez, who's our manager for translation affairs within ICANN. She joined just before the Cairo meeting, and I think has done some amazing work in taking us from those first baby steps of, yes, you're right, paying too much for translations, to now getting us on a much more even keel. But I think she'd agree there's still areas where we can significantly improve. So I could do an email introduction, and then we could separately, as part of that sub work team, schedule a time to get together.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Sure.
Good. Thank you, Rob.
Hey, Mason, this is Ken Bauer. I'm sorry I was a few minutes late. I just joined about 5 minutes ago before this discussion started. I just wanted to signal to Glenn, too, that I was on the call.
Great. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Hi. I understand I owe thanks to Steve Holston for summarizing everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do, actually. That's true. Yeah.
I was actually waiting to say, hey, Ken will summarize it for us.
Yeah.
They're so on top of it. So.
And then I called on you first.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So, Ken, we're just running through our work list block by block to get a general update on where things stand in terms of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And we just heard from Helen that she and Zbinek have not yet connected on on the soliciting meaningful feedback issue, but they're going to do that. We were just having a discussion about translation, and well, you heard it, Rob. Rob's offered to put a meeting together, so that's where we are in the meeting.
Super, thanks.
Okay. Okay. All right. So anything else for Helen's meetings group? Okay. So on my issue, the formalized channels for council to communicate with the board, interestingly, I've actually been working on this in the context of the registrar's constituency where I'm a participant, and there was a question posed to the constituency. I would assume that it was posed to all constituencies, but it also came to registrars about it was very specific. It was about how to make interactions between the constituencies and the board more efficient and more meaningful during constituency day at an ICANN meeting. And so we have put together actually a two-page document that talks about how that might be done. And one thing that I'll offer up to the group here is when the executive committee of the registrars met to sort of talk about this, it came out that we believe that you can tinker with constituency day or the methods for communicating with the board here and there. The real issue is that there's too much work that ICANN's trying to take on for any one meeting day to handle it effectively. In essence, the structure of the meeting itself is inadequate to cover the amount of material that's trying to be tackled during that day. But I wanted to offer that to you all and just ask if that could be a shared opinion or if you have other perspectives.
This is Ken. Even though I've joined late here, I do have a perspective that you're right on. In fact, I notice it in many other places. I hope I don't get yelled at for this, but I mean GNSO council calls, the agendas for each meeting are packed.
Yeah.
Frequently, each item has 10 minutes on its agenda. That's a fairly common time block. The ICANN board itself, typically, when it meets, has a very full agenda and frequently cannot get into the details and substance. This may not just be a problem in ICANN. It may be a problem universally, but I have seen it in other places. So I think you're right on there.
Well, I realize it's not our problem to solve. It's not our assigned task, which is how to do that. But I do think it may be useful to set context when we talk about communication, that it's unrealistic to think that you can give weighty topics 5 minutes of discussion and expect that there's a decent outcome to be had by that. That part of the communications problem that we may be having is the fact that we don't prioritize our work. We, meaning ICANN, the entire community. And I don't mean that in a literal sense. I mean, of course, you have to prioritize some things, but by its structure, ICANN sort of has to take on everything at the same time. And I do know, I'd be interested in Julie and Rob's point of view as well as Ken's, from a staff point of view, I have talked with folks on the staff who said, look, you know, we're going to start missing deadlines, and there's too much work coming at us, and it's also too much for the community to thoughtfully consider at any given time. There's just too much out there to think about. Anybody want to address that?
Yeah, I hadn't, this Christopher here, I've not actually seen that one drop into the mailing list or anywhere on the business community. I suspect you're right. I don't have the sort of experience of these constituency days to really comment firsthand.
Just wait.
if you can help me succinctly put the question together, I can certainly take feedback from the business constituency.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. And when you meet with the board, Chris, as a constituency, how is that interaction structured?
I've only been to the Paris meeting, and I wasn't in the constituency at the time.
Okay.
So I can't answer that.
Okay.
I can ask Philip or one of you.
Ken or Robert or Julie, do you have any perspectives on how other constituencies tend to interact with the board?
This is, in terms of board interaction on constituency day, members of the board divvy up the various stakeholder groups with a small F within ICANN, and they go around that day and visit with the various groups.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the GNSO, the other supporting organizations and advisory committees, I think, make efforts to reach out to either board liaisons or board representatives, probably similar to what happens at the GNSO, where, you know, there are a couple of board members who are elected by the GNSO who will maintain ties or connections or contacts with leadership of the GNSO Council. But in terms of direct interaction, that's a more rare occurrence than anything else. Usually there are more official communications that take place, but not a lot of dialogue.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is outside of constituency day, is there really any meaningful back and forth between any element of the GNSO and the board itself?
Well, I mean, and some of you may see this. I mean, Bruce Tonkin will circulate once the meeting agendas are publicly available. He'll make sure that he sends a copy to the GNSO Council as a heads up. I think various board members will monitor some of the forum lists and some of the archive lists. There's almost an effort to bend over backwards in some respects for members of the board to not be quote-unquote representatives of the segments of the industry that they're from, because they owe a fiduciary responsibility to the organization as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, there have been concerns expressed by ICANN's general counsel that it be very important that members of the board are not identified specifically as coming from their communities, but represent the corporation. So there's that tension there, but I think an overall agreement, as you all have discussed and seen in the BGC report, there would be more of an exchange of information. Whether that's a dialogue, a paper, or something else, I think is worth discussion.
Yeah, and one of the questions that the registrars had when we were talking about this was, frankly, we're unaware of what the board does with the information that we share.
Yeah.
We're not casting aspersions on the board or on anyone on the board, but we sit with the board itself, not the entire board, but representatives of the board for most of the day, and then they leave and go to the board meeting, and we don't know how the information is shared or how it's acted upon or even if it's acted upon. So, one of the things that we're going to request is more visibility into that. That would be helpful, and it would be instructive for us to know that, so we could tailor our feedback in a way that's more helpful to the board.
Yeah, because as a community, this is Rob again, as the community, you and we as staff have an opportunity to see that when there's a public meeting, and everyone's sitting around on stage, but my impression is that tends to be more of an orchestrated event.
Yeah.
As opposed to a real sense of something you might see here in the United States in an open meeting of an administrative body that has various, quote-unquote, what we call here in the U.S., sunshine requirements that, you know, shed light on the deliberative process.
Right.
ICANN is not yet that sophisticated, and perhaps, you know, this work team could fashion recommendations, concepts, or ideas that may begin to sort of approach not only that how that communication could help the broader community, but also how the GNSO specifically could find leverage points to help prove that observation of what's going on.
It's a good point. And you know, one thing that I think, again, I'm sorry to use the registrars as a constant example, but it's recent and it's topical. One thing we're very conscious of is the amount of work that the board takes on. I mean, these are, you know, volunteer positions, and the board's time commitment to its duties is huge, and it's only getting bigger. And, you know, there needs to be a way to make interaction between the board and the GNSO more efficient without being too formalized so that it sort of stifles discussion rather than encourages it, while not adding more work to the already pretty heavy workload that the board carries. Does that seem to make sense?
Curious to know how you're going to solve it, Mason.
You've identified the problem, yeah.
Well, that's as far as I'm willing to go. I'm not sure what the answer is, but, you know, we'll have to start getting creative.
Is it possible to have some sort of feedback from our comments, though?
Say again, Helen?
If we could have some kind of feedback when we put all these recommendations, if we could have feedback. I mean, if there's something that the ICANN board really likes, they could say, we like this and we used it. The other things were interesting but not really usable. It would really help us learn how we can help ICANN.
Yeah.
More, because that sort of feedback will be telling us, okay, we're barking down the wrong path, we're taking too much time and we're not helping ICANN on these sort of issues, but these sort of issues do seem to be of some help, so we should work more on those. So definitely, if ICANN takes the recommendations that we give and they come back with just a short few lines feedback as to whether there was any results on these or whether it was all useless and they were just being polite listening to us.
Rob, were you about to say something there?
Helen's remark, I think, suggested something again in my mind, and it may be something appropriate for the Sydney time frame. This work team would perhaps like to invite Bruce or Rita, the two GNSO reps, to one of these meetings or to your in-person meeting in Sydney to have a dialogue along those lines, just to get some thoughts, perspective, as to how they think things could be improved. It could even be an email dialogue with you, Mason, I don't know, or other members of the work team, to get that sort of perspective and input. I'm sure they'd be delighted to provide it.
That's a good idea. Okay, any other thoughts on this issue? All right. All right, I have one other question on the work plan checklist. Has anyone thought of or considered any other issue that should be added to this that's not already on there? Obviously, we're not looking for work to add to it, but, you know, if there is something relevant, we should consider it.
This is Ken. I don't know if this is relevant or not, but I'll just throw it out there. In recent times, I have, and so has Rob, been part of watching some public forum comments come into ICANN on various and sundry documents that have been posted for that purpose. And, you know, a lot of some of the comments, not a lot, but some of the comments, more than a few, you know, are just written in bad taste. They border on unethical, they violate ICANN's code of conduct. So where am I going with all this? I'm wondering if in the communications process there isn't also a recommendation, and it may be just that. Would it be useful to come from a working team that was created to help ICANN just to make the statement that, you know, the ethics and principles and code of conduct is not often discussed, and we don't talk about it very much. When somebody says something that isn't appropriate, it doesn't get called out as often as it probably should. I remember there was one situation in Mexico where that did happen, and a lot of people were very appreciative for that. So anyway, that would be that's just a topic that I don't know if you want to.
No, let's talk about it. I mean, I just have a follow-up question. I'm not being argumentative by asking this because I actually think your point is spot on. But beyond just violating the sort of code of civility, how is anyone in the community or on the staff noticing that A, the problem is growing, and B, what specific impact it has on handling work?
This is Rob. I mean, it has come up more recently in some of the discussions about new constituencies and stakeholder groups, and I don't know that it so much manifests itself in workload or productivity, but where it has impacts is in participation. Whereas if folks are insulted or feel like they aren't being treated respectfully, they will stop participating.
Right.
Because of the multicultural personality of our organization, you know, some people don't take well to, you know, take a long time just to participate. And if they are insulted or treated disrespectfully, or see others treated that way, they simply will never come to the table.
Right.
And so it's a broader issue of, I think, trying to encourage dialogue and participation and not allow some folks to bully people out of the debate.
That's a good point.
Well said, Rob. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. That is well said.
I wonder in the comments whether there can or should be any limit on the number of filings that people can make. You know, Rob, you come from an FCC commenting background, and there were certain parameters put on the mechanism and method for filing, the format, the length, et cetera. I was struck in reviewing some of the second guidebook comments that sometimes the commenters had just stream of consciousness, here's a thought, and then they post it. And then they have another thought 10 minutes later, and they post it again. And so even if you've got 50 comments, 10 of them are by the same person who just decided to break it up into one paragraph or thought at a time. I don't know how that pertains exactly to the GNSO communication scheme, because I think this is a much bigger topic than our specific mandate.
Yeah, this is Rob again. That's a real challenge, I think, because what our public participation folks and many around the world will tell us is we want to maximize opportunities to participate, and so that would mean, you know, allowing people to, I guess, Twitter comments if they wanted to. But by the same token, you know, the GNSO improvements also said that they want meaningful participation. And so what's the right balance there where, for example, one comment forum that had over 300 comments said, I'm still plowing through, you know, you'd have folks spend 8 or 9 pages very thoughtfully, and then, as you note, other folks just coming in with various comments at different points in time. And I think that's a real balancing act that it wouldn't hurt for you all to look into at a certain point, discuss, and maybe share some thoughts or recommendations. Just understand that becomes a fairly challenging or broad issue. And while we're talking about, you know, as you're referring to the draft applicant guidebook, that's somewhat of a formal process. How do you manage some of those same communications on just a GNSO council list or the work team list? And, you know, there are a variety of communications, and they have to treat different forms differently. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you guys face an unwinnable battle in that regard in trying to accept all comments, dignify them, recognize them. It's almost like a congressional office who gets lots of constituent mail, and at some point the congressman can't personally sign letters and correspondence back, and so they get form letters, or it just doesn't even get read. And outside of the formal comment period, I don't know how you guys could possibly keep it all straight, because I'm sure that oftentimes people send correspondence and they're scattered comments on every different topic that you're currently facing, and what do? You have to duplicate them all and put them in the files for each of those topics. I think that part of it's unwinnable.
Can I just come in there? Are the current lists, the current feedback lists, are they totally unmoderated at the moment? Anybody know?
I think that's the case. Is it not? Ken, Rob, Julie?
Yes.
Glenn, sorry, yes?
All the lists are unmoderated.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody knows who's run a forum, it is very difficult once you start moderating, you know, where to draw the line between something that's sort of an insult and something that's just a jocular comment. But if the lists there that are unmoderated, then maybe it's worth us, rather than simply commenting or making opinions on the subject, that we do a little bit of analysis on it and seeing how deep the problem is, or isn't it really a problem? I don't know.
You can. Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, I tend to think that anybody who makes comments that are in bad taste or outside of the code of conduct, that commenter knows that there may be retribution against them, even in the form of, you know, Rob is a really fair-minded guy, but if he knows that this commenter said something that was a low blow, maybe you won't look as favorably upon what the person has to say. I think that just as in any human interaction, what you say and the manner in which you say it, everybody ultimately has to stand behind what they say, and that doesn't mean anybody should like to have people behaving or speaking badly, but I think ultimately it doesn't get them anywhere. So that may be a place where you have to have a little bit thicker skin.
Well, yeah, we're a bit all over the map here on this, but to sort of wrap it up, what I think I'm hearing is that we've noticed an increase in sort of uncivil participation in ICANN, both online and in person. And the problem with that is it not only does it disrupt whatever's happening at the moment, but it discourages others from participating. And that should be addressed in the report. I think that's valid, or in our set of recommendations. I'm also hearing that there's structurally, again, because of the way ICANN is set up, it encourages participation with almost no barrier. Right, anybody can attend an ICANN meeting. It doesn't cost anything to walk through the door. Almost anyone can get onto a discussion list if you're active in a work group or a constituency or what have you. Even if not, there are plenty of other places to submit your feedback into ICANN on a myriad list of topics. And not only does that create a volume problem for the staff who's responsible for going through those things, but sometimes those comments are snarky or inappropriate or unhelpful. And again, that's disruptive, and it discourages others from participating. Did I get most of that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I just make a parenthetical note on that subject of moderation. I just happened to be up on ICANN's site, and I noticed for the first time that there is a section called blogs on ICANN's site. And so I decided to go in and take a look at what was in the blogs, who was writing the blogs, and there is also a capability to comment on the blogs.
Mm-hmm.
And in that material, in the, you know, sort of the instruction set, it says words to the effect of...
behave yourself?
Yeah, and if you don't behave yourself, we reserve the right to take any comment off.
Sure.
and it's pretty explicit, and it goes on for, you know, a couple of paragraphs, seems to me, of basically saying, and by the way, we don't really care if you don't like it either. We're just going to, we're taking the upper hand here, and you're not going to turn this blogging thing into something that is, it's interesting. If you all have a chance, you might take a look at that. But that, there's a case, well, I don't know, Rob, if that was Kieran or who manages that blogging site. But that was an interesting departure for me.
Well, this is Rob. I will leave it at Steve's comment that, yes, it's very challenging.
All right. Well, Ken, I'm glad you brought this up because I do, I have on occasion noticed. I was in the room in Mexico City when it was in and heard what you referred to a moment ago. And, I'm sure that if I were on the staff end of ICANN, I would probably be distressed at seeing what you all are seeing. So I do think it's worthy of our attention. Does anyone else disagree with that or think that we should keep the focus elsewhere, or is that good to include?
I think it's good to include. I'm not quite sure how far we can go down with it, but there's no harm in, including it and saying for further consideration, possibly.
Right. I
agree with that too. That's an issue spotting one, not one that we're necessarily solving.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, we can certainly make recommendations, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Okay.
I think it's a good idea to have a list of what we call correct combat, and we basically use our discretion on how much to use on it. But if somebody's really being obnoxious, we just say we're not listening to you and stop it.
Right. Okay. All right.
But on the same time, we don't want to stop people from inputting things, and sometimes people who are very heated and say things in a less than polite, politically correct manner actually do have a good point that we should be listening to. So we don't want to eliminate that as long as they're not too abusive.
Right. Right. You're correct, Helen. Okay. Anything else on our work list? Okay. Any other business for today?
This is Ken. I'm not sure if Steve mentioned there's some additional things happened. I sort of took the point to work with the ICANN IT staff on sort of getting this project charter for our sub-team, our mini-team, and yesterday I completed the first draft of the project charter and sent it into Joyce Thomas. She has acknowledged receiving it. She's going to do some more work on it. I just wanted everybody to know that we had talked about that a couple of meetings ago, maybe a few, but that work's actually gotten resuscitated. Joyce was busy on some other assignments, and she's now free of those, and so she's committed to Rob and I and Julie that she's going to really get to work on that. So we should make some pretty significant progress in the next week or so or two on getting the ICANN staff IT group aligned with our teams around the same scope and the same objectives and the same work tasks.
Okay, good deal. All right, thank you, Ken. Any other business?
No.
All right, we are scheduled to meet again on May 13th. Same time. And let's see, yeah, May 13th. Yeah, that's 2 weeks from today. Okay. All right, folks, if that's it, then I will declare this meeting adjourned.
Very good. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.